In November 1963, I was the agent responsible for the protection of Mrs. Kennedy.
What were you supposed to be doing that day? What were your expectations of what would happen that day?
Well, we had stayed overnight in Fort Worth, Texas, and then we were traveling on Air Force One to Dallas, arriving at Love Field. President had a speech scheduled in Dallas at the Trade Mart, and that was going to occur about 12:45 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Dallas time. We arrived in Dallas to a large crowd. There was a motorcade that we planned for to drive through Dallas, downtown Dallas, to get to the speech site. The area of Main Street in downtown Dallas was completely filled with people. There were 10, 15, 20 deep on each side of the street, so crowded that it was difficult to get the cars through the crowd. They were very friendly, very exuberant, enthusiastic. You wouldn't know that there was any problem existing, and we had no information to indicate that there was going to be a problem in Dallas. We had no intelligence information that would indicate any problem other than the fact that there were a group of people within that community who really disliked Kennedy because of his politics.
Okay. As you turned by the made the turn by the school book depository, things started to happen pretty quickly.
Yeah, we turned right off of Main onto Houston and then had to make a sharp left onto Elm Street, and that took us right in front of the Texas School Book Depository. After making the turn onto Elm Street, we got down Elm about 180 feet, 200 feet, and I was on the car immediately following the presidential vehicle. The president was in an open car, no armor on it whatsoever. It's called Secret Service 100X.
When you said that you were on the car, were you walking or were you riding on the car?
I was riding on the car immediately behind the presidential vehicle on a running board on the left-hand side, the forward position, because that was the closest position to be to Mrs. Kennedy. The president didn't want us up on the back of the presidential vehicle because he felt that indicated to the people along the way that there was a barrier between them and he did not want that. He wanted them to feel that they had access to him at all times.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
I heard an explosive noise over my right shoulder. It came from the rear. My scan then went immediately toward the noise, and in so doing, my eyes passed over the back of the president's car, and I saw what happened in the back seat. That was that the president grabbed at his throat and made a violent move to his left. I knew something was wrong, so I jumped from my position on the follow-up car and ran toward the presidential vehicle with the intent of getting on top of the rear of it to form a shield behind President and Mrs. Kennedy to prevent any further damage from being done.
The driver of the car that the president was in hit the gas then, so what happened?
He started to accelerate just as I got to the car, causing me to slip. I had to take another two or three extra steps in order to get back where in my position to get up on top of the car. At that time, the president had been already hit in the head, and the wound was so eruptive that blood and brain matter and bone fragments came out of it over myself, the back of the car, and Mrs. Kennedy. She came up on the trunk of the car trying to retrieve some of that material that had come off of his head. She didn't know I was there. I grabbed her and put her in the back seat.
Secret Service man is still spread eagle over whoever is in the car, the president and Mrs. Kennedy, and as we understand, Governor and Mrs. Connolly.
His body fell into her lap to his left, and when I got up on top of the car and laid up above them, I looked down and I could see that his eyes were fixed. I could see a hole in the rear, right rear of his head. It was all the brain matter was gone from that area.
You're able to recount that to me this many years ago, and I know you've talked about it countless times since then. Do you wish that you could forget what you saw?
Certainly I wish that it never had happened, and I wish I could forget, but I can't. It just seared into my memory. Everything that happened that day is there, and I can recall all of it. For a long time, I had nightmares about it and had a very difficult time dealing with it. But as I've talked about it and written a couple books about it, one called Mrs. Kennedy and Me and a new book coming out called 5 Days in November, it's been much easier and it's been very cathartic for me.
And here at the museum, it was such a painful time for the American people. Why do you think having this all gathered together can help?
Well, I think the museum has done an excellent job putting this exhibit together. It shows not only the November 22nd day of the assassination, it shows the beginning of that administration, how joyous and happy it was up to a period of time. I was very fortunate that I was an eyewitness up close and personal to what was later called Camelot. I saw both the good days and the bad. I was there when John Jr. was born. I was there when young Patrick was born. But then we went through Patrick's death and then, of course, the assassination. So I think it's important for the American public to know exactly what did happen in Dallas, and this will give them some indication.